That's certainly a great song for us to think about tonight in our relationship with God. And this morning I told you about the woman who was conversing with the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, it is a known fact that the pupils are the last thing to go in an individual. So if your pupils are okay, you're okay. Well, when he said that, the woman said, well, how is that? And he said, well, just to be quite honest with you, he said, the pupils die late. I don't know if you got that or not, dilate. But anyway, thank you for being here tonight. We do appreciate all of you that are here. And, you know, so many times in our own lives, we end up doing the right thing, but we do it the wrong way. And, you know, when you do it the wrong way, it never is really going to measure right. It is never going to be what it ought to be. And so tonight, from the book of Leviticus chapter 10, I want to talk to you a little bit about doing the right thing in the right way instead of the wrong way, okay? I knew a man one time who was putting a bicycle together for his little girl. And anyway, after he had put it together, he said he had one screw left over he said he didn't need. Now, can you believe that? I don't believe they put too many screws or too many nuts, actually, along with the bicycle, one that you could leave over. I just don't believe that. And so we must be people that do the right thing in the right way, not in the wrong way, okay? It is unacceptable to God. And I want to talk about things that we do and ways that we do that. And the story of Nadab and Abihu, and their father was Aaron. They were the sons of Aaron, Aaron being the high priest. And they had priestly duties right along with the father. And they were to actually offer a fire that God had ordained. And yet in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, the Bible says that they actually offered up a strange fire unto God. And I want you to look at what happened when they did the right thing in the wrong way. Well, if you're looking at verse 1, then Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, made a mistake, and they took their incense dishes and put some fire and incense in them, but they did not use the fire that was on the altar, and that's what God said. They took fire from some other place and brought it to the Lord. This was not what God had commanded. So the fire actually came from the Lord and destroyed Nadab and Abihu, and they died there in front of the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, the Lord says, the priests who come near me must respect me. I must be holy to them and all the people. So Aaron did not say anything about his sons dying. Now, they were doing the right thing in the fact that they were worshiping God. You know, God has called and commanded all of us to worship him. But we are to worship him in the right way. In the book of John, the 4th chapter in verse 24, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Those are the two elements. We have to worship God. God says that we're to worship. And in that same text, he says, such doth the Father seek. He wants us to worship. Why, you could, you go through the Bible and find all kind of examples where people worshiped God, and they were taught to worship God, and the way that they did it acceptably is worshiping specifically like God had taught them to worship. In the book of Leviticus chapter 10, now in verse 3, among those who are near me, I will be satisfied, he says, and before all people, I will be glorified. Now, if you're looking at verse 8 through 11 here in this same text, the Bible says, then the Lord said unto Aaron, you and your sons must not drink wine or strong drink when you come into the meeting tent, and when you are there to honor God. And if you do, you will die. This law continues forever through generation after generation of God's people. And he says, you must be able to clearly tell the difference between what is holy and what is not holy, and between what is clean and between that which is unclean. And you must teach the people about all the laws that the Lord gave them through Moses. Now, Nadab and Abihu offered up a strange fire unto God, and God struck them dead because they disobeyed him. You know, people can make the same mistake today in their worship to God. There is a right way to worship God and a wrong way to worship God. And if we worship God in the wrong way, and that would not be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people, for some reason or another, have abandoned the idea of worshiping in truth. It's only worshiping in spirit instead of truth. Well, what is strange fire? Strange fire, as mentioned in that text, is anything but what God had commanded. And in 2 Timothy 3:7, the Bible says they were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You see, Nadab and Abihu knew what they were to do, but they just totally disregard that. They said, we'll just go ahead and do it our way. We have a lot of churches today that want to worship God in their own way instead of worshiping as the God of heaven has commanded. That's why we have people doing all kinds of things religiously today instead of doing the will of Jehovah. And in the book of James 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I hear people say all the time, well, you know, there's just nothing wrong with us worshiping with instruments. There's nothing wrong with women getting up and leading public prayers and even preaching or making the announcements. Show me where God ever authorized a woman to do such, and I can show you where God condemned such and said it would be wrong to do it. Now, I'll be happy to meet with you and discuss it with you, whether you're listening to us by Facebook or YouTube or even in the audience here tonight. God is one who is a God of love, a God of kindness, a God of tolerance, and a God of patience, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. In the book of Psalms 19, verse 13 through 14, David said, keep your servant also from willful sins. And when you go beyond what God has taught, folks, that's a willful sin. That's all you can say about it. And the Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Leviticus chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, by the way. Then will I be blameless, innocent of the great transgression? And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable or be pleasing in your sight. Now, in that book of Leviticus chapter 10, there are some lessons that we learn from the death of Nadab and Abihu. We learn that there are prohibitions from God in verses 8 through 11. And here they are. First of all, God is concerned about how we worship him. You know, and if we're going to worship God in the right way, we have to do it with great specificity. Whatever God has commanded, it is to be done that way. You know, when Noah was told to build the ark out of gopher wood, someone asked me one time if he built it out of oak or if he built it out of olive trees or whatever, if he built it out of something other than what God had commanded, would it float? And I would tell you it would not. And God would see to it that it wouldn't, because you have disobeyed him. That's what God says. And God, in this particular case, does not condone drunkenness. We have a lot of people today that say, well, it's all right for people to imbibe and get drunk if they want to. It's okay. Ephesians 5, however, and verse 18, right before that passage that we all know, that says that we are to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, listen to this one. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now that's what God says. And God's servant also in Proverbs 20, I think it's about verse 1, he says, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. He says, and whoever is led astray, what? Is not wise. And then in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, he lists what we call the works of the flesh. That being envy, that being drunkenness. And obviously, Nadab and Abihu were given to drunkenness, and that's why God brought before Aaron what they had done. And Aaron didn't open his mouth about it. I'm telling you, if God does something and you don't like it, you better keep your mouth shut. Drunkenness and carousing and things like these, he says, for which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in Romans 13 and verse 13, the Bible says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, and not in strife and in envy. You cannot be a Bible-believing Christian and think that it is acceptable or that that particular lifestyle is in God's sight. Sin should be avoided at all cost, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 10. But then there's another thing. Worship certainly is one of them. But notice also in this story that God was real concerned that they not come into the tent, that is to the place of assembly, okay? And where they were carrying on as they would. So secondly, desecration of the sanctuary is something that we learn in verse 9. Now, they were desecrating the place where God's people were to meet. I tell people all the time, the building really in and of itself is not holy. I understand that. The holiness of this building takes place when the church enters into this particular edifice for the purpose of worshiping God. The building is not holy, but holy money paid for this building. I can tell you, I remember when this building was built, and the cost for this building, it would be astronomical today, but I remember that the cost of this building back in 1977 was right at $200,000. It was actually $192,000. There is no way you'd be able to touch this facility here today beyond probably a couple of million, which we have it insured for. But I know one thing, that we are not to desecrate the house of Almighty God. It deserves respect. Desecration of the temple is wrong. God does not need us to do anything for him, according to Psalms 51 and verse 17, but we are to worship him. He sent redemption unto his people, and he hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy, listen to this. Only time you'll ever find this passage in all of the Bible. You know, people use and reverend. Let me read the rest of it. Holy and reverend is his name. Do you know there's no other place in all the Bible that talks about the name of God being revered? That's why I think it's wrong for men to wear such titles. I think it's right, it would be inappropriate for me to be called a reverend because I'm not a reverend. I am not to be revered in the eyes of God. Only God is reverend. He is the one to be glorified. He is the one that is to be honored, not men. I don't care who they are. And in Acts 17, 24 and 25, the God who made the world, Paul is in Athens, Greece, and here's what he says when he's atop of Mars Hill. The God who made the world and everything that is in it, Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples built by human hands. as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath. And the King James Version says all things. This translation says everything else. He is the one. He is worshipped, and we are to glorify and honor him. God will not hold them blameless who hold their own hearts higher than his law. And when you think that your feelings or your opinions are more important than the law of God, my friend, you are sadly mistaken. So honor the place where we worship. Don't desecrate it. And then thirdly, don't listen. Contamination of that which is sacred is so important. The church worship is not a concert. Now, if you were to listen to the average Christian on the street today, they think it'd be fine to have a concert at the church and let the concert take the place of worshiping God. The church worship is not a concert. The church is a place of worship, and the church should be different. Perhaps we rely on entertainment in the church to keep things interesting. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, it just gets boring to listen to a sermon. It never gets boring to me to work up a sermon. It never gets boring for me to preach unto you. It never gets boring for me to sit in an assembly where the Word of God is being taught. And I'm telling you, if the Word of God is boring to you, you don't want to go to heaven. But sometimes people want it to be an entertainment experience. And to keep things interesting, because we do not rely enough on God to keep our gatherings so compelling. And a church that can't worship must be entertained. That tells me something about religious groups. And people who can't lead a church to worship must provide entertainment. And then there is those, one of the great lessons we learn from this particular story in Leviticus 10 is the fact that there could, all of that could result in starvation of the Holy Scriptures, verse 11. People do unauthorized things in worship because they do not follow the Bible. You know why people, let me tell you this too. You know, people call baptism by a number of things. They call it sprinkling. They call it pouring. And yet the Word of God teaches us that real baptism, as Jesus commanded in the early church practice, was immersion in water. People were lowered in water, underwater, and raised back up. Now that is the correct way to baptize. Now some people baptize, but they don't do it for the right reason. Let me give you an example. Someone comes forward and says, well, I want to be baptized. We baptize them, but they had not repented. Did you know that repentance should precede, always precedes, and our belief and confession in Christ should also precede one's baptism? And yet we got a lot of people today just put people underwater, and they go down into the water, a dry center, and they come up a wet center. There have been no changes in their life. And so people can be baptized. That's the right thing that ought to take place, all right. But they can do it for the wrong reason. And when you do it for the wrong reason, it could be the fact that you want to be a part of this church. And so you are baptized to be a part of this family of believers. It could be any number of things. Jesus even taught that when you give unto God, you don't give to be seen of men. To give to God, sure you ought to give to God. That's what God says. That's what the Lord teaches us to do, is to give. But he said, don't be like the Pharisees who stand on the street corners to be seen of men, and they clang the cymbal when they actually give
unto God.
Factually speaking, Christ said, don't let the left hand know what the right hand gives. You're not doing it to be seen of men. You're doing it to be seen of God. But there are a lot of things. We could go on tonight, and I'll not take the time to deal with all the issues at hand, but I think you get the message that we're trying to teach you. The Bible must be our guide. It must be the guide in all things. And where there is no scripture, there is no structure, according to 2 Timothy 3. That's why he says to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You think we're living in a world today where that's happening? Absolutely. I believe it. I believe it. People want a feel-good religion. People want to do it their way, just like Nadab and Abihu did, and God was so displeased that he struck them from heaven with fire. Because they were more concerned about entertainment, but the church, listen, the church is about worship, not entertainment. There's a time for entertainment. I like entertainment. You know I do. But the church is not the time for us to entertain. Nadab and Abihu tried to do something entertaining, and it failed. And the silence of the scriptures says, some people say, well, that means we can just do anything in the world that we want to do. Is it prohibitive or is it permissive if you don't read about it in the Bible? The Word of God says, do not go onward unless you abide in the doctrine of Christ. Silence does not give consent for us to do wrong. It just doesn't. I've heard some people say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Well, if it doesn't say anything about that, let me refer you back to the book of Galatians chapter 5, where Paul lists a number of things, and then he says, and the such like, anything that resembles evil, the Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. A lukewarm message may draw many people. Have you ever seen those on TV? I mean, Joel Osteen and people like that, where they don't really preach the Bible, they don't really teach the Word of God. They're just telling you to be happy and God's going to do great things in your life and everything's going to be wonderful and send your money to me. Hey. A lukewarm message may draw many people to your entertainment-driven church, but it won't draw you to God. But never to the uncompromised Christ. You know, our president right now is trying to work a deal with Iran. I hope it's all over before long, just like you do. I don't like the high prices for gas and oil, and hopefully all of that will eventually go away. But he's trying to work a deal. But let me tell you something. You don't work a deal with God. God is not in the let's make a deal business. Never has been, and never will. You know why? When you say, let's make a deal, there's got to be a compromise somewhere. And Christ does not compromise his message. He doesn't. It will never, ever be compromised. And I think some churches are finding that out, that this entertainment fatigue. Are people tired of the church's glitzy stage? I mean, I'm interested in going to heaven. I'm not interested in what's happening right now. I want to make sure that I follow God's law and that I am ready to go to heaven. The punishment from God is very strong when we disobey him. And the character of punishment was death in verse 2. And it was the cause. They violated God's law. They disobeyed him, verse 3. And it carries the punishment that was directed. And I can tell you that constraint over the punishment of God with Nadab and Abihu was determined by God himself. And we must remember, is any fire just fire? Is any worship acceptable to God? No, it isn't. And so if we're not worshiping, I'm going to tell you something, the elders and deacons of this congregation are strongly committed to upholding the truth of God when it comes to worship. Is any worship just worship? No, it's not. We must remember that we cannot tamper with unauthorized things in worship. We don't add to it. If you go to the book of Revelation 22, 18 and 19, the Bible says you don't add to the word of God, nor do you take away. And when you do, there are consequences for our disobedience. We must understand that everything is by faith. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 10? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And there is sinner's danger when we mix secular and the spiritual. We must remember that presumption in God's worship is sin. Many choose their own way of thanking and praising God. But whatever is not of faith, Romans 14:23, is sin. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Exodus 19:8. And that should be the attitude of all of us. Do the right thing, all right. But make sure that you do it in the right way. Maybe there's some things in your life tonight you've been doing in the wrong way. You're trying to do the right thing, but you've been doing it in the wrong way. Well, thank God we can receive forgiveness. Thank God that we have a God who loves us and is merciful unto all of us. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing our song of encouragement. And if you're not a Christian tonight and you want to follow God, follow Him according to His will by being baptized. And if you're a church member or one who is a Christian already, but you know that in your life tonight, if the truth were known, there are things that you have been doing that are wrong in the sight of God, please correct that. Don't wait until it's too late. Let us stand and let us sing.